The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely gorgeous Linda Cloak.
Thank
you. That's all right.
I thought you were going to say the gorgeous Dan Holden.
I'm doing a big build-up for that, Dan. Yeah. And the Adonis that is Dan Holbert, yeah.
Actually, if Jules was here, I think she would actually be drooling over you, Dan, because she does have a habit of doing that, doesn't she?
She does, and it's funny you should say that, because there is a tweet that has arrived just at this moment from Jules Sirkin that says, please give a big hug to Dan and Linda Garcia, and absolutely, there you go, we spared you, mate.
If you want to feel your muscles, Dan, it'd be like,
yeah, I'm going in. If my wife's listening, this is a business right now.
Cool. As I say, we've got another guest to talk to, the fantastic Linda Garcia, shortly. Just catch up with some of the tweets and emails that we've got. What you got, Linda?
Well, I just saw the big hugs, so that's fantastic. And I've also got here, tune in at 1 p.m, which is people saying tune in at 1 p.m. today. Let's have a look what else. Stacey Body, fantastic news that Avatar is part of the growing B Corp family. It backs our sole mission and purpose to change advice sector for the good of its customers and society.
Cool.
That's a shout out from Stacey Body.
Fantastic. Westrum Wednesday. We hope you can join us on June the 14th for our next meeting for Westrum focused businesses at Squarey's Winery. Tracy Taylor will be talking about her new company, Tailored Financial Therapy. That's taking place on June the 14th, 10:30 to 12 p.m. And you can find out more about it and book your ticket by going to campusradio.co.uk/calendar.
Okay, and I've got the Pioneer Chapter of BNI Mates Own Navigated the Three Peaks in Scotland. We're not really going on about this much, guys, are we?
Yeah.
Lake District and Wales, 24 hours of walking and climbing day and night. An amazing achievement, which is worth going on about, of raising nearly £20,000 for Kent's leading alcohol and drug rehabilitation centre, Kenwood Trust. A team of 25 ambitious walkers, including 9 BNI members, 8 Health Hut Nutrition Club Maidstone, and 8 friends and supporters, set themselves a target of training and completing the incredible Three Peaks. I injured myself on every training session. last weekend, 20th to the 21st of May, raising funds for Kenwood Trust, Kent's leading alcohol and drug addiction rehabilitation centre in Yalding. Quotes from participants are, in my job, far too often, I've seen the other side of addiction and the ripple effect it has on the person suffering and those around them. Linked with addiction often comes homelessness and mental health. As someone who struggled at times myself with mental health and losing a close family member to suicide, it only highlights even more the need for hidden gems like Kenwood. That's from Katie Walsh. There's some people who really experienced some stuff,
yeah,
actually, that supported
some poignant messages there.
Really, yeah. I believe that everyone deserves a second chance in life, and I'm hoping the money raised by completing this challenge can help towards those that are struggling with addiction and homelessness. That's from Annie at Borough Green, who is one of the walkers. Substance abuse is still a taboo topic, one that is brushed under the carpet, often hidden and treated with embarrassment, and until it can't be denied anymore. I wanted to shine the light on it for people who know there is help out there and give hope to those battling in the dark. That's from Georgie Cope. And one of the sad things is, I know someone who's struggling at the moment, and they're suffering with abuse on Facebook. As good as social media is, some people are really cruel, and they don't take into account the pain that someone else is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think, how can people be like that? It's just absolutely awful.
Having spent a weekend arguing with complete and utter idiots on social media, I really get it. The trouble is people have an agenda that they want to push, and they don't even look at what they're looking at. They respond with their own agenda and start an argument about something you haven't even said, yeah, because they assume things, yeah. It's like the amount of people that look at my profile and assume that they know what my politics are, and they are always 100% wrong. But they start on me and they go, hold on a minute, you know, what's that got to do with me?
I would act, my advice to someone who's going through that would be to not respond. I know on Twitter,
yeah.
But I would say, you know, don't respond, because then you're just you're feeding them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't feed the fire, just ignore them and let them chatter between themselves and get on.
That is terrific advice. Use the block button, use the mute button, or just walk away from it, because it's like anything, isn't it? Sex, politics, religion, you're not going to convince anybody to change their minds anyway with an argument, so why bother in the first place? Especially when they're not even talking sense, I mean.
And the thing is, that will feed them, they'll come back with something and it just carries on in your head, whereas if you read it and they just go away and try and forget it, it's gone.
Yeah.
But anyway, the team was sponsored by the Health App Nutrition Club in Maidstone, Core Gym in Maidstone, We Do Social Media, Miss MPS, who's a virtual assistant and business support, that helped them raise the money. And the girls put in a lot of work.
They did indeed, yeah.
Definitely.
So the Three Peaks Challenge, that was climbing the three highest mountains in Great Britain, which is Scafell in England, Snowdon in Wales, and Ben Nevis in Scotland.
Yeah. And it was cold, and it was... The thing that amazed me...
Was there snow at the top?
There was snow at the top. The thing that amazed me is the rocks are like, the way I described it to my mum, like egg boxes on their side.
Yeah.
And obviously only they don't crunch under your feet, unfortunately. But you're walking on, it's really unlevel.
Yeah.
So you're trying to walk on there, and some of the rocks are quite high.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I thought it was going to be this dreamy little, like, stone path.
scroll up a hill.
Yeah. So then you can get a lift.
Yeah.
And I thought I was just going to have to walk up it. I didn't think I'd be climbing over big rocks and things. But, it was a challenge, which is what it's meant to be.
Yeah. But you did it.
I did.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And all it cost you was the... snap ligament.
Yeah, well.
You know the next natural step is Kilimanjaro, don't you?
Yeah.
And then Everest.
No.
Yeah, base camp.
Yeah.
No more climbing for me. I think I'll just stick to the gym.
Stevenage Chamber, join us for our 7th of June Wednesday networking meeting in the centre of Stevenage. The meeting will be held at the Stevenage Vine Club and is sponsored by Wellham Jones Funerals and Memorials. Yunnan coffee will be provided by Henry Every from Imperial Jade and will be treated to a delicious spread by Chamber members, the Happy Grazing Company. Places are free to Stevenage Chamber members and guests could join the meeting for £15. We'll be raising money for our charity of the year, which is Stevenage Samaritans, with our business card draw. That's taking place, as I said, on the 7th of June, 10:30 till lunchtime, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada.
Oh, it's a lovely crowd there, and, you know, it's a really worthy cause as well. That's the thing, there's so many charities, aren't there, out there, and they're so worthy. So, operatic tenor Nicky Spence confirmed to perform at Leeds Castle Concert, known for his vocal and physical stature and charisma. An artist of great integrity, Nicky Spence's unique skills as singing actor and the rare honesty of his musicianship have earned him a place at the top of the music profession and is an impressive addition to the lineup of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra performing at this year's Leeds Castle concert. I love it, I love going. The concert in the grounds of Leeds Castle provides a sensory overload of live music, fireworks and Spitfire flyover that established itself as an iconic event for Kent. Nicky gives recitals internationally, appears in concerts extensively and records prolifically. Upcoming recital appearances include Wigmore Hall, La Monnaie, the Jeannette, Bruno International Festival and the Two Moors Festival. In 2020...
I gave her that one because I couldn't say it.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Do you not speak French?
No.
In 2020, he won the BBC Music Magazine Vocal Award and the Gramophone Solo Vocal Award for his critically acclaimed recording of The Diary of One Who Disappeared. The BBC Music Magazine awarded him Personality of the Year in 2022. Nicky has just taken up the role of judge and mentor in Sky Arts TV's Show Anyone Can Sing and lead presenter in Sky News TV documentary Sing When You're Winning. Another recent role is one of the 10 Sky Arts Access icons across the arts, which sees Nicky figure heading the new campaign offering free resources to primary schools to unpack the art of opera and inspire young singers of the future. Wow. I'm looking forward to seeing him then.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice one. Cool. I tell you what, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. I think you've been on twice now, Linda, over the years.
I think it's about 5 times.
I think it probably is. I lost it in the midst of times. We've been doing this 15 years. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Linda Garcia.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to see you, Linda. Linda is a mentor, coach, consultant, specialising in productivity, but we're going to talk about something else today. But while I've got her here, I want to have a little rant about productivity as well later on, because I always have to have a little rant.
Rant about productivity.
Yeah, yeah. But before that, why don't you just introduce yourself, Linda? Tell us a little bit about you. But we want to talk about something specific that you're involved in at the moment as well.
Yeah. For those who don't know me, I founded Aluxi Consulting, which is the productivity business side. But alongside my business consulting, I've always tried to contribute to the business environment and the community in Kent. In fact, in 2016, I won the Kent Independent Traders Award for contribution to the community.
Absolutely.
But I just can't say no.
The problem I have with the Kent Independent Traders is I immediately think of Dylan Rodney.
Yeah. I do run around a little bit with Ashford, Peckham, Paris.
Yeah.
But,
he speaks French.
He does. Mange too.
So I have been involved with the Kent Foundation that we wanted to talk about today since probably before 2020, when I was a mentor for the for their work that they do, and I gradually became more involved at board level,
right,
and became the vice chair at the Kent Foundation in 2021. I think it's all flashing past so quickly, and so today, yes, I've been on the board for a year 18 months, and we are starting to recognise that we could do a lot more across the county than.
Okay, give us an overview of what Kent Foundation is.
And I have that written here right in front of me.
That's handy.
Yeah. So we are, the Kent Foundation's actually been running for 39 years. Mm. I had to add a number to this. And we are, the object of the charity is to deliver the business community, helping young entrepreneurs to start to grow and mature the businesses, to create employment opportunities, and as a result of that, the outcome should be to contribute towards the Kent economy and the overall well-being of the county, to use that phrase. Mm. We work closely with a lot of the business community at the Kent Business School, Canterbury to Christchurch, colleges, schools, but other business organisations. We have a network of over 80 very experienced and very
80.
Passionate mentors.
80 or 18?
80.
80. 80. That's a lot.
Which we would like to grow, yeah. Mm-hmm. We provide very accessible and free, and this is where I think a lot of people that might be looking for help starting up and growing their businesses probably aren't aware that everything that we do is free to the mentees. Mm. In fact, we don't charge anybody. Giving them business mentoring, support, advice. We organise year-round events. We have workshops. We have masterclasses. Mm. We offer mastermind events, so that a group of small groups can get around the table with a couple of business leaders and bring their specific issues or problems or stress test ideas to the table. And lots of networking opportunities. So we do the Kent Biz Fest. Mm. Currently running once a year. We'd like to grow that to maybe two or three times a year, but in different parts of the county. And so it's to help young people take their first steps in business, and make sure that they get through hopefully their first year of trading and then go on to become a successful business.
Absolutely. To be fair, the foundation has helped an awful lot of businesses that are still around and are still in business and are still contributing to the Kent economy.
Yep, and some of those have become our ambassadors to help promote the work that we do. Yep. We definitely now have big ambitions to extend our reach.
Right.
Just last year we mentored over 100 startup or early stage business owners. The collective turnover of those businesses is currently 3 million. We'd like to help them. We'd like to think that we can help them grow that maybe by 10, 15, 20%.
Yeah.
They've over the years gradually got 250 employees collectively amongst the businesses that we're working with. There's a lot of work that we are doing.
Are you seeing more and more young people come forward with business ideas, or is it fairly static? What I'm trying to gauge is there a pattern in what's happening? I mean, the problem is we've had this hiatus a couple of years ago, haven't we, between 2020 and 2022, where everything stopped. And not only did we stop doing things, but we kind of lost impetus as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of the mentees that we're gradually bringing on are recently or currently maybe still studying as undergraduates,
right,
that have got business ideas or been incubator stage, and so we've started to onboard those sort of mentees to be able to help them plan and prepare and understand the implications of what building a business is going to be. And you know, it could go one of two ways. One is that they actually start the business, in which case they would hopefully do that on a much better footing had they not received the sort of advice that the Kent Foundation can give. Or, you know, on the opposite side of the equation is they decide, no, this isn't for me, and then we've then reduced the risk of that person potentially putting in a lot of money that they'd end up losing.
Yeah,
so mitigating their risk a little bit, but you know, it's not something you can ever get the crystal ball out and see how is this going to pan out.
Elle had a mentor actually through the Kent Foundation.
Excellent, there you go.
So as a youngster, she, you know, because you know, obviously me being a mum, I'm a mentor obviously day in day out, but I see things differently to someone who's outside.
I suffer from that. You're always going to respond to your own kids in a slightly different, lower risk way than the mentor.
Yeah, you just slap them, don't you?
Stupid.
Her mentor was absolutely brilliant, and it made a massive difference, and she really valued everything that he said.
Thank you. There you go. Testimonial. I didn't say anything.
It's interesting, isn't it? Both Linda and Dan, both of our guests, have joined me recently on our Schools 3030 programme.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're starting to see from A-level students that we talk to, a lot of them, in the last two or three events I've done, have talked, when I've asked them about starting their own business, a lot of them have talked about side hustles, which is a big thing at the moment. And, of course, the side hustle is the path to starting a business quite often.
Exactly, it's like the gig economy, isn't it? A little bit now. And thank you for the testimonial. But we last year we had an independent report done of our mentees and mentor bases just to get a feel for the feedback. And the stats show that 91% of our mentees rated our mentors as good or excellent, which was so encouraging. So the work that we're doing is having an impact, and people are feeling that it's making a difference.
And these mentors are business people from the business community that are volunteering to do this.
We have got certain criteria that we would want our mentors to meet, because we have to make sure that they've got the professional background that is appropriate to the businesses that we need to help grow. But always reaching out for new mentors. So if anybody out there's got from 1 hour up to 5 hours, I would say if you want to start mentoring more than five people, that can get quite chaotic. I started off just doing an hour a month. I've got an extra couple of mentors because we're running a Dragon's Den initiative at Canterbury Christ Church University, giving some 10 young people the opportunity to present their business ideas and helping them develop those ideas and bring it forward. There's a little bit of money involved as an incentive that they can win, depending on who we think we give the best pitch. So I've got a couple of extra mentees because they're given four free sessions to help with the mentor. So that is something that we're always interested in hearing from people who do feel that they can offer an hour, 2 hours. Dan.
I just want to kind of I want to develop that. And funnily enough, Fruitworks, my place in Canterbury, my co-working space, we launched that 14 years ago with a Dragon's Den style event. Where we staged a open door. You'd call it open mic. Where people could come along and pitch, like 2 minutes to pitch their business. And if the audience booed, we hooked them off.
Literally.
We go, no, that's it. It's rubbish. That's a rubbish right there. Off you go.
Not sure we'll be trying that next week.
But we ended up with five that the audience kind of liked, and then we gave them the opportunity for a longer pitch because I had a panel of three angel investors. Yep. And of the five that we did in that original one, three of them got investment and two of them went on to quite big things.
Absolutely. Well, we do have some, they're not even ex-mentees because they tend to stick around, who are now into multi, or well, just over £1 million turnover.
Yeah.
So it does just sort of make you proud to think that, yeah, they've been given the time and energy by professionals, giving their time away.
Yeah.
But there is a, you know, there's a massive, it feels so rewarding when you see, you know, these youngsters making progress and actually developing into a proper business.
Absolutely. And it, what goes around comes around, because it all helps the economy.
Yeah.
Small businesses drive our local economy. They create jobs.
They represent 96% of businesses in the UK are less than 10 employees.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant as well. I mean, I was working for TVS when I, not long after I left school, and I had an idea. I wanted to start an underwear shop where there weren't any. You didn't have Marks and Spencers. Yeah. Nobody was doing that back then. And I remember going to the bank and saying to him, I want to start my own business. And he went, well, go and do a cash flow. And I just looked at him and I was like, what's that? And he gave me his form.
Mm.
And he said, there you are, go away and do it. And I just looked at it and I just thought, if I've got to do this, I didn't know what to do, so I just gave up on the idea then and there.
And sadly, you know, there are still kids coming out of school who've got no idea what a spreadsheet is, let alone a cash flow. That, you know, it's just fundamentals that they need to understand if they're going to be in control of their own.
I think this is the biggest lesson to learn when youngsters have been, well, not even just youngsters, I've come across, you know, people, adults that really should know better, come up with some really ridiculous stuff as well. That one, you need to research a market properly.
Yeah.
And two, you need to do some realistic projections. You know, when I worked as an angel investor, the amount of business plans that went, you know, we'll start up, you pay us a lot of money, we'll pay ourselves, and in a year or two, we all become millionaires and retire.
Exactly.
And you go, that's not a business plan, mate, that's just wishful thinking.
Absolutely.
You know, there's not a lot of reality in a lot of these things.
And I think one of the things that the mistake that some of, all business owners, a lot of business owners make, is thinking that they've got to have everything ready and prepared before they can launch.
Mm.
And it's in fact like you just got to start with something. One small, two small, three small products that you start marketing and selling straight off the bat, because you need to build up the courage that yes, your items or your service, your product or your service will sell, it will start to generate cash, and that then breaks the back of the nervousness or the lack of confidence around being in business.
Mm.
So I think that's where the mentor can help push that person into, come on, let's just get one thing going.
I want your view on this. This is my view, having swanned around in that kind of environment for quite a long time and got burnt a lot myself, you know, investing money that I never saw again. I'm a great fan in bootstrapping rather than selling equity in a startup business. So many businesses try and get you to invest in their business right up front. And the two points about that is you haven't got a business with any value because you haven't started it yet. So why you want me to give you £300,000 for 20% of it, I've no idea. Yeah. But even if I do decide to buy a percentage of your business, you've just sold your idea to me. But not only that, I now own a significant amount of your business, so I have a significant amount of control over your life, yeah? And you did that just for comfort, yeah? So by bootstrapping a business, I'm starting from scratch, doing exactly what you said, you know, just as a side hustle even, you know?
Piloting.
Yeah, just, you know, try it, see it. It gives you an idea of what's involved in getting a business off the ground. It also will involve you learning very quickly whether your idea has reality or not. In
and
terms
you've got
of
to try and not be selling to friends and family.
They
will buy from you regardless.
Yeah.
You've got to test it in a
the three F. The three F's, that's called. The three F's of business startup. The three F's of friends, family and fools.
Yeah.
Will buy your product.
Yeah, you need to have a proper
trip. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I'll tell you the story because it fascinated me. It was after a show, a radio show, a few years ago. I got a phone call about half an hour after I came off air. A bloke rang me and he said, "I was just listening to your radio show. I need you to invest in my business. I've got a cracking business idea, but I've run out of money." Okay. What's the deal? And he said, "Well, basically, I've been researching this thing for 4 years. He said, "I've had prototypes made, but I had to mortgage my house and raise £400,000 to get all the prototypes made. But I've now got them made, and I'm ready to launch, but I've got no money to launch." And I go, "Okay." He said, I said, "What is it that you're launching?" And he said, "I've invented a pet feeding bowl that doesn't move when your dog or cat is eating from it. Yeah, so it doesn't chase it around the kitchen, all right?" He said, "And I've had prototypes made in China, and I can sell them for £25 each." So while he's talking to me, I'm Googling it, and I'm going, "You know you can buy them on Amazon for £12. And he went, "What?"
"Yeah."
"I went, you can buy them on Amazon for £12. They already exist." "Do they?" "Are you genuinely telling me you spent all that money and mortgaged your house and you didn't even have a look at the market to see if they existed already?"
"Oh,
yeah. Oh no, I'd never heard of them."
"Yep, I had that exact same conversation, but it was about airport sleep pods." "I've got this brilliant idea, I'm going to get air sleep pods, and like when you just want to stay in an airport for 3 or 4 hours, but you need to get your head down and whatever." Same as you, I Googled it, and I had the 5 biggest companies that sell these things internationally. Yeah. I was giving the mentee all of the airports where they're currently based, how much it costs, and there's no business.
Yeah.
You know, or, well, unless you've got, like, these...
Unless you want to compete with...
50 grand each to purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but it was like, oh, it's like this brilliant new idea.
Yeah.
And you think, like, that generation have been brought up with the internet.
The first thing they do is Google it.
Check it.
But people don't, do they? The amount of people that send me messages go, "Paul, do you know about this, that and the other?" And I go, "Google, yeah, here you go." And they go, "Brilliant, you know everything." It's called the internet, mate.
Wiki Andrews.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I think that a lot of youngsters maybe don't understand is they look at someone who runs their own business and they think, "Oh, look at that, it's really easy. You know, all I've got to do is this." And the amount of, if you speak to anyone who's self-employed, they're putting so many more hours than if you go and get a job.
Yeah.
And you've also got that, you know, that mental sort of worry about whether it goes right, goes wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't have that, because if you go and get a job, you go to work, you come home, and that's it. Mm. You haven't got to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. And I think there's an argument as well that it's coming out of university, it's straight into being your own boss and being an entrepreneur the best way to go.
No.
Possibly for 5% of the people that have got a business idea, that might be, they might be able to run that risk, and they've got the drive and the confidence.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the word, they've got the arrogance, because you have to be very arrogant when it comes to running your own business to do that. But the other 95%, I think, have got to go through being employed, understanding what it's like being on that side of the fence before you can have enough sort of a vision, like that 360 around walking in and setting up your own business. And it is a big risk.
And I think the other thing as well is it's important to have family support. I mean, I've been reading Richard Branson's book, and, you know, he would have failed so many times around if his auntie hadn't helped him, if his mum and dad hadn't remortgaged their house. You know, all that stuff. Everyone looks at him and thinks, oh, you know, he's made it and hasn't he done amazing. Yes, he has done amazing, because he's just kept pushing and trying. I've got a lot of admiration for that man. But he had the family behind him.
Yeah,
if I went to my mum, you know, she's not going to remortgage her house for me.
This is where the mentoring that we give is, and really what we are trying, we're trying to reach out to the underprivileged, you know, those youngsters that don't have the resources around them.
Yeah.
And the mentoring is there to provide that support and professional support.
Yeah.
Not, obviously, we're not mental health experts or anything like that, but it's giving them the advice on a very down-to-earth level. But, you know, plus, you know, we can provide the mentoring in all the different spheres of what you need to know about business. So, like, I can, you know, help people on the scaling up and the technicalities and the operations of the business. We have the marketing experts. We do need more digital marketing experts on our panel of mentors. So anybody out there that's got digital cloak. but yeah, we're always looking to sort of fill the...
I want to ask you two questions, and they're kind of related but not related, and going in slightly different directions. The first one is there a pattern a discernible pattern to the types of businesses that young people are trying to start at the moment?
I can't say that I know all of the different types of businesses that young people are trying to start. I would say no. I've actually been quite shocked at the sort of ideas that people come out with, that, in a nice way.
Yeah.
Like, wow, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
There are trends that people can see. I think, like, for example, I've seen at least three mentees with the idea of putting their own designs on T-shirts and mugs, but then there are sort of franchised, or there are promotional merchandise websites that you can upload your designs to and sell your design, and you're getting a minimum amount of profit. So there's, you know, those sort of fields. But that's, I think, with the, you know, the undergrads or the people just coming out of university, they see those opportunities and think, oh, I can make a quick buck here.
Yeah.
You can, but it's not going to be...
It's not really a business, is it?
You an income. Yeah, it might pay for an extra couple of beers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the important thing is that even launching into that is starting to give you a bit of experience as to what's required to market your designs.
Yeah.
How are you faring against the other designs that are out there?
Yeah.
What is selling well? What is not selling so well? So it's all seeding the planting the seeds of these are the difficulties of what you're going to have to get to know. It's not just about being in front of your computer making wonderful designs and getting people to, you know, have them printed onto a mug or a water bottle.
Yeah.
You've then got to understand all of the different aspects of growing and building and running a business that might eventually end up taking you away from doing what you love, because you've now become the administrator, the manager, all of
marketeer.
Those, the marketeer, the director, the supply, you know, your supplies, your accounting, your bookkeeping.
Yeah.
And so that sort of startup might give you a little bit more of a sense of what being an entrepreneur is all about. And 10 years down the line, you might be doing something completely different, but you'd have had that opportunity to get the foundation.
Hmm.
But no, personally, I see a lot of different startups in so many different fields.
Yeah, I just wondered if there was a predominance of things like digital, or people wanting to be YouTube influencers or things like that.
I'd have to go back and have a look at our stats, actually, but that would make my mouth water to go and ask, like, poor Rod Stewart in the office, oh, what percentage of our things are start-ups in this and this?
No, it's just interesting, because obviously online businesses are fairly easy to start up with. They have fairly low start-up costs.
I mean, I've obviously gone into that idea of people sitting there. Graphic design and social media marketing have, I think, just over the sort of 5-10 years that I've been in my own business, I've started to notice that there's a lot of... I had a flurry of clients that were in the web development, web agencies, because it started to get much more competitive.
Yeah.
So they were having to get smarter about how they worked to maintain their profitability.
We've actually found that, Linda. I mean, you know, with social media, we've been in business 10 years now, and, you know, there's not many that were around when we first started. Well, mainly... I forgot the name.
Zoe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mainly Zoe. But there wasn't really anyone else around.
So,
you know, but now there's absolutely loads and loads of them around.
Yeah.
And what will happen, and what is happening as the market matures, is they'll start absorbing them. There'll be acquisitions being made, and companies will grow by acquisition rather than because there's more demand in the market.
Yeah.
Things start to consolidate, and the smaller, less successful, or, you know, less quality ones will drop out. So congratulations on being around 10 years, you've now become the top 15% of businesses who last longer than 5 years. So that's a good sign. But I call it the mercurial effect. Molecules of mercury, and gradually they start to roll together, but mercury attracts itself, doesn't it, and you end up with one big company.
We get offers every 6 months for our business.
Exactly.
Web design companies are the same thing.
I've had a tweet from Lisa Settle. Interesting discussion about starting a business. Agree with bootstrapping to begin with. It's very educational, makes you more interested and hungry to make things work. My dad taught me how to start up, so I was lucky.
And Lisa, if you fancy doing any mentoring, please get in touch.
You see, you live with a chin there, Lisa.
I think my dad taught me to just keep on going.
He was
always trying new things. And it was just a case of keep on going, and I think I'm definitely an advocate for that.
That's a good thing.
My dad was a builder, and my dad said to me, you ought to be a dustman. And I went, why is that? He went, it's about your intellectual level.
I thought it was because you talk rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really encouraging
parents. Yeah, no, my mum said, well, can't he work for you? And he went, absolutely not. But to be fair to my dad, he was absolutely right, because I'm to DIY what, you know, what Larry Grayson is to judo or whatever. You know, I'm just useless at things like that. Yeah. So he was right, to be honest, although I didn't pursue the dustman route.
Just going back to the comment that Linda was making about coming out and the bank manager asking about the cash flow. The main barriers and the concerns that our mentees sort of cite as being the reasons why they don't feel that they're going to make it is what funding and finance, cash flow and security, was the top thing that they were most concerned about. Then you've got confidence, resilience and focus. So that's the, you know, the mindset, time management and juggling competing pressures, overcoming fear of failure. And cost of living crisis at the time that this was done. So
they're all younger people, are they?
As a charity, we focus on the 18 to 30 year olds. There's a lot of other organisations out there who offer mentoring. I mean, the government are always pushing out different programmes and things.
I mean, the 18 year olds, just looking at your bullet points there, I mean, a lot of that's just be patient, you know, like
absolutely,
you know, you've got no commitment.
What's the last thing you've got at age 18? Patience. You want it all now?
No, but if you can teach patience, because that's one of the most dangerous things, a young person with patience, because they will be successful. Yeah. They haven't got the commitments, the financial commitments at the moment, you know, they can. So it's about showing them there's longevity. And business is long term. It's not a short, but quick buck thing.
There are literally hundreds of psychological experiments that show success is built on the back of being able to delay gratification.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, being there for the long haul. But I wanted to ask you, you've touched on it, and it was the other thing I wanted to ask you about, which was funding. A lot of businesses come along and try to get funding up front. But I'm also wanted to get your experience of this. Our banking system is no longer fit for purpose, in my humble opinion. It doesn't do what it started out doing.
We love a bit of controversy on the
Don't we, you know, but I know people that have tried to start a business and they try to open a bank account and the banks go, no, you can't open a bank account. Why? Well, because you've got no experience. How am I going to get experience if I can never open a bank account in the first place?
I don't know that that's such a big problem at the moment, because, I mean, you can open up a bank account that won't give you an overdraft, for example, but at least you've got somewhere to deposit money in.
Yeah.
And a lot of the online banking has got a little bit more of a cosmopolitan approach, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm not going to mention any names, because you won't get paid for advertising, will you? So I don't think it's the banking that... access to grants and funding, it's out there, but I think the biggest problem is they can't find it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you mentioned Kent and the Exchange of Commerce. I've been a business navigator for the Kent and Medway Growth Hub many moons ago. And, you know, that was set up in order to get the funds and the grants that are out there much more on people's radar. It's still, you know, you've still got to dig deep into the internet to find what's relevant to your sector or your postcode and things like that. So it is quite complicated.
I'm looking at you with a quizzical look for a simple reason. A few years ago, I can't remember what the fund was called. Kent County Council had a massive business loan fund of £50 million. I can't remember what it was called.
Was that the South East Celeb?
It could have been, It had a particular...
South East Business Boost.
Yeah, but it had a particular name on top of that. And some of the people from Kent County Council came to me after a while and they said, no one's applying for this. If we don't shift the funds, we're going to get them, you know, government are going to take them away again. I went, well, what's the problem? I went, well, we're offering start-up funding of up to £25,000 to £50,000 a pop. I go, okay, how'd you get it? Well, you have to, you know, there is a process and it is quite long-winded. Okay, well, how do I find out? It's on our website. I go into our website, Startup Businesses. The very first paragraph in the submissions are 4 years' accounts.
Sorry,
what kind of startup has 4 years' accounts?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we need to be sure that it's a... I mean, it's not a start-up, is it? It's a scale-up, that, mate. That's why you're not getting anybody taking the money.
Yes, that, they can get very, very specific, very niche. But, yeah, it's there's so much out there, and that is where, on our mentor base, we have got, well, Brian Hall, he helps our mentees understand what is out there for specific things, and will sort of, you know, help them through the application process. He won't do it for them. It's quite a lot of time and energy. But yeah, you've got to have your ducks in a row and get your numbers and your finances down on paper for any sort of fund.
And that's totally understandable. That is totally understandable. It's public taxpayers' money that you're sending to these people. But, you know, if you're not consistent with what it is you're offering, then, you know, it's a bit of a payment. And the other thing is that a lot of the grants that are available now are kind of politically focused, so, you know, you'll get a grant for being green or a grant for being net zero, but you won't just get a business startup grant unless you can demonstrate it has some kind of eco thing in it, you know.
But even the R&D was difficult, wasn't it? I mean, that was all going through accountants, but the idea that Elle came up, the social media gym, I mean, that was just phenomenal, and it was, you know, it was a really good idea, and she put in a lot of work. It cost the company a lot of money. You know, time we've invested in everything, all the videos and everything else, and we weren't eligible for R&D, and I didn't understand that at all, because for me, that was a classic R&D.
R&D tax credit,
it should have been.
A speciality on its own. I know that is quite
complex. This is one of the problems with these kind of schemes, is there was no pre-formatted criteria. It was all up to whoever looked at it in HMRC to go yeah or no. You don't know who was looking at it or what criteria they were using to judge it. Luckily, I've had two or three R&D tax credits in my businesses for developing AI products in software. But, you know, it's a very precarious thing, because there's no way you can go and go, do I qualify? Because it's all, send it to us and we'll let you know.
I think the other consideration you have to take into account is that research and development tax credits are paid out on products that could be used by other businesses, that it can become, you know, part of mainstream operational or usable technology in the future. So if it's something that you literally want to just trademark for your own company, then they're not going to be looking on that favourably, because it needs to be something that is going to be expanded into business.
Into a general
time.
What this was. Brilliant training programme that you put together.
Another social media company to be able to use that for it to be eligible.
They could. But I just want to say to you that Jules has just tweeted, calling us both lovely Linda.
Is she up then?
She's up, and she said Linda Cloak and the Kent Foundation. # lovely Linda, times two.
Linda, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Just to round off on that, for those that don't know, I'm starting a new business in Sheerness, and one of the things we're doing is we're partnering with the Kent Foundation there to offer some of these services based at the Island Works, Sheerness Docks. So if you are a start-up business on the Isle of Sheppey, do get in touch with us. Islandworks.co.uk is our website, or the Kent Foundation. Linda will give us the website in a moment for that. But if you are thinking about starting a business or you want some help, then we're going to be there very soon. We're opening in the end of June. So, Linda, if people want to find out more about the Kent Foundation, how can they do that?
KentFoundation.org.
Fantastic.
That's it.
Yeah, well done, well remembered.
And if there are any business owners out there who feel like they'd quite like to contribute, not just in mentoring, we are always looking for sponsorship, just to be able to run events, get locations. Like, people want to meet face-to-face again now, and to launch some of the initiatives that we're looking to try and bring to the table in the future. Always happy to look at sponsorship. Do get in touch.
Fantastic. Linda, thank you so much. Keep on doing what you're doing. It's really brilliant what you, the Kent Foundation, and all your volunteers are doing to help the economic situation here in Kent, and to help young people get their businesses off the ground. This show is all about small and medium-sized businesses, and we're big fans of anybody that wants to start a business.
Actually, that's how I started with your social media, supporting a youngster who wanted to start a business.
Yeah.
So I actually supported her financially and tried to support her mentally, And then she went and got a job, and I was left with the business. And I had five customers, and I didn't know a thing. And that's when I called in Zoe. It was like, Zoe, help! I've got this business. Yeah,
right
now. Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you.
A study has revealed more than 70% of organisations are promoting in-person work models. But according to a report by Lorien, 61% of employees aged 35 to 44 want to continue to work remotely. Yeah. This clash of culture is set to continue as the market changes. Will we find some common ground? 72% of companies globally have mandated a return to the workplace. 42% report a much higher attrition rate since implementing those policies. People just leave. Yeah.
Yep.
And I can tell you stories about people that have left one industry to take lower wages working in another industry just so they could work from home.
Yeah. We're starting to see the work-life balance and the quality of life is actually quite a lot more important than the money, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. What you got, Linda?
Okay, I have Tunbridge Wells. Please join us on the 15th of June for the third Thursday's Tunbridge Wells. This meeting is sponsored by TN Accountancy, June the 14th, 10:30 to 12 p.m. Okay, that's strange. So I'm not quite sure when the third Thursday is. So guys, you're going to have to look that up. Is it the 14th or 15th? Tweet us with your to let us know. We'll have to look that up.
The Kent Business School Business Clinic. Discovery of Kent Business School. High calibre students and expert academics can offer solutions to your business. Areas of expertise are from the four departments within the Kent Business School at the University of Kent. Accounting and finance, analytics, operations and systems, leadership and management, marketing, entrepreneurship and international business. If you want to find out more, email kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk.
Okay, Startup Roadshow, Mates Zone 2023, hosted by South East Angels and NatWest, is on the 8th of June. An opportunity for startups to showcase their ideas and network with local investors and fellow entrepreneurs. This event will include a networking session as well as a startup pitch competition with founders from a range of sectors. The pitches will be judged by a panel of industry experts, and the winners will receive prizes and opportunity to meet with potential investors. If you're a founder in Kent, this event is for you. Business Terrace, King Street, Maidstone, 8th of June, 10 until 12:30.
Fantastic.
Time as well.
Mental health charity West Kent Mind and leading Southeast construction entrepreneur Andrew Mann are urging people to understand and address the symptoms of anxiety and develop coping mechanisms to support their mental well-being in everyday life as part of Mental Health Awareness Month. Andrew Mann, founder of Clarity Homes and commercial and local charity West Kent Mind, are teaming up to raise awareness about the staggering levels of poor mental health within the construction industry. We've already talked about this with Dan a bit, which sees more than 700 suicides a year. That's gone up from the 570 I had earlier. So I'm now keen to encourage other leaders within the construction industry to start positive dialogue about the sector's culture and how we can change this to create better outcomes for individuals and businesses. After all, happy teams are productive teams, which is entirely what Dan's message was earlier in the show, wasn't it, about changing the culture in construction. Absolutely.
And there's so much around that now. I mean, you know, there's so many businesses around financial well-being and, you know, personal well-being, and I'm actually volunteering to the health hub because that's about well-being as well, really, nutritional. So Kent Creative, Culture in Kent. We're calling all artists, designers and makers in Kent to invite them to submit their work to Designers and Makers Market, taking place at Turner Contemporary in Margate on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of December 2023, just before Christmas. Our aim is to provide a platform for Kent-based designers and makers to showcase their work, offering the chance to sell directly to new and existing customers. This event is now in its sixth year, and it's taking place in one of the county's most significant cultural venues, and we are excited to offer this opportunity for you to be a part of. Cultureinkent.org.
Fantastic.
I know.
I've got three events to tell you about now. I'll give you all three events and then I'll tell you how to find out more about each of them. The Business Terrace, NatWest Business Builder at the Business Terrace. Our next session in the Business Builder series from NatWest, Building a Resilient Business, is on Wednesday the 7th of June at 10:30. The Business Terrace is part of Maidstone Council and they're in King Street, Maidstone. Then there's the Marsh Network, Breakfast Networking at Base Point Folkestone on Shearway Business Park. That's 7:45 until 9 a.m. on the 13th of June. And then there's a Medway business meetup. This new event is open to all businesses in Medway, whether you be a freelancer, a one-person operation, or run multiple companies across the towns. It's taking place at the wonderful Dragon Co-working, which is 7 to 8 New Road Avenue, Rochester, from 6 to 8pm on the 22nd of June. All three of those events can be found at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar with their appropriate booking links.
Can I do a quick shout out for an event on Thursday?
Of course you can.
Because Tim Aker will kill me if I don't. FSB, Federation of Small Businesses, we're meeting up at the Spitfire Pub in Kings Hill in Westmorling.
Right.
It's Thursday the 1st of June. I think we're meeting up from about 5:30 onwards. You can book through the link at the fsb.co.uk. website. I'm saying that because I'm wondering if it's fsb.org.uk.
It's fsb.org.uk.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's promising to be a good event.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Linda. That's at the Spitfire Pub, Kings Hill. Spitfire. See what I did there? Tunbridge and Morling Business Grants. They're talking about business grants. Tunbridge and Morling open their next round of business grants. It closes on the 31st of May, so you've got one day left to get in for this. Grants of up to £8,000 to fund up to 40% of business development initiatives. This grant is open to Tunbridge and Morling Borough and Seven Oaks District businesses, and it's in low carbon and renewable energy economy. It will help build short-term resilience and provide the foundations for growth. If you want to find out about it, you haven't got long, but it's tmbc.gov.uk/apply-green-business-grant.
I can get my solar panels paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you got anything else?
No, I'm...
You've read everything, have you?
I know, yeah.
Oh, blimey. I've probably got one more. I've got to find it, though. Oh, here we go. Gravesham, the Gravesham Business Awards. Open to all businesses in the Gravesham Borough area, this is a great opportunity to promote your business and get the recognition you deserve. This year, there are more categories than ever for businesses to consider. They reflect the great diversity and entrepreneurship of the Gravesham business community. The earlier you apply, the more chance your business has to be considered for the community-driven awards where your customers vote for you. A full list of the categories and the application forms can be found at Gravesham Business Awards. .co.uk. Well, there you go. It appears that we're very close to the end of our show.
And well done. What a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
It was good to hear from you. And I want to say a big thing. I'm just checking Twitter just to see if there's any last minute tweets we need to. Neville Gaunt has tweeted. I'm just going to give them.
It's about to be on Mum in the Attic again, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
That was Martin, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Ash Lawrence has tweeted, the flip-flop psycho. And Jules is banging on about something. I'm not even going to read that. I want to say a huge thank you to our two fantastic guests today, Dan Holbert, Dan Holbert Coaching. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
To the wonderful Linda Garcia of Al Upside Consulting. Thank you, Linda. And also the Kemp Foundation. To my fabulous co-host.
Thank you.
The hoppity of radio presenting at the moment, the lady with one leg, Linda Clark. Thank you so much, Linda, as always, for stepping in and doing a fantastic job while Jules is smoozing her way around the Mediterranean. Thank you so much. Look, thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed, and sent in their messages and joined in the show. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't have a show without you. We'll be back with another Business Bunker next week. But for the moment, thanks, everybody. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.